Sin acknowledges and pays respect to the traditional owners of the land on which the Sin office and studios stand, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nations. Sin also acknowledges and pays respect to the traditional owners of the lands our content reaches, as well as the radio stations we broadcast from across the country.
Welcome back to Film 101, the show that looks at everything film, from the biggest cinematic hits to awards hype, right through to our recommendations for films. On today's show, I'm joined by fellow co-hosts Darcy Reed and Tom Parry.
Hello.
Thank you both for being
How's
on the show today. Always great, always a pleasure rather to have you in. And it is a special show and segment today that we've got lined up. We have esteemed Australian film director and award-winning film director, Mr. Rolf Dahir, to talk about his latest project, The Waiting Room.
Yes, I'm very excited to talk to Rolf and hear all about his experiences.
Indeed.
So for those who aren't aware, Rolf Dahir is a multi-award-winning Australian director. He's been nominated for AFI Awards, Actor Awards. He won at Cannes in the Uncertain Regard category for his film 10 Canoes. And a few years after that, David Gulpilil, who appeared in his film Charlie's Country, won a Best Actor Award in the same category. So yeah, it's going to be really exciting to hear what Rolf has to say.
You're listening to Film 101 on Sin. Welcome to Film 101, Rolf. We're very happy to have you on the show today, knowing how busy you are. So thank you for coming on to discuss your latest project, The Waiting Room.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Excellent. So, Rolf, your work has often involved issues pertaining to cultural survival, Indigenous Australian subject matter and Indigenous stories, some of which I and my fellow co-hosts have looked at in the past. So I'm interested then in what it was about this project, The Waiting Room, that drew you to it.
Okay. The vision in the project is Molly's vision.
Mm-hmm.
Molly Reynolds, one of the co-creators. Where I was drawn into it was I'm always interested in whatever's going on around me that furthers how I might think about what I do.
Right.
This did that on a couple of levels. One is because it was sort of an artistic piece, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, it's about art as well. But also the technical shift. The difference between virtual reality and cinema, and what you have to do and what you can't do in each one as it relates to the other. And so I felt that being engaged with it would further my thinking about how to deal with cinema.
Right, yeah, that was one of the questions we were actually going to ask you about, how it kind of informed your own medium and your own practice.
To what extent it informs my own medium, I don't yet know, because I haven't made a film since then.
Yeah,
I've written, and you know, I have a script that is, you know, I will soon be trying to, you know, manufacture into a film in some way. My sense of it is that it is influenced by it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't yet know fully in what way, but I think it was a great thing to have done The Waiting Room prior to conceptualizing that script.
Oh, of course.
Rolf, it's Tom here. You're a migrant yourself, having been born in the Netherlands and come to Australia at a young age. How has your experience informed this project?
Okay. Whatever my experience is, it would inform any project that I did.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in what way it does is really for other people to judge, because they can see it and I can't. I understand that I was born in Holland. I understand I was Dutch. I understand that there are Dutch influences on me. I don't feel remotely a bit Dutch.
Mm.
I feel perfectly 100% Australian.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sort of way, always have. And obviously I can't have, because I used to be a kid in Holland and, you know, I can't have felt Australian then.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel no different. And I don't feel Dutch, but I do feel Australian, so in that way. Yeah, look, every film I make is the sum total mm-hmm. of all my lived experiences and then something.
Yeah.
Your answer really intrigues me, Rolf, because in the past you've done stories about the Indigenous experience, such as Ten Canoes and Charlie's Country. And I feel in those projects, you know, there is some sort of way of you conveying that in some sense you do feel like an outsider, much like the Indigenous Australians do in their own land and their own culture.
I think it's a different thing to that. I think what I do is I think my job with those ones is to get inside who they are mm-hmm. and present it from their perspective as much as I can. So I did a film called Dance Me to My Song, mm-hmm. which the lead had cerebral palsy. Mm-hmm. And so in that one, we all felt we were making her film, and the job was to present it from her perspective, which would then be a different perspective than anybody's ever had who hasn't got cerebral palsy and who's not you know, sort of experienced with it, that they could see that differently. Mm. And I think it's much the same with Ten Canoes and Charlie's Country. It's a question of the job is Ten Canoes was making a film with the community, for the community, you know, not even me making it, but how do I facilitate? I was like this great facilitator, that's all. You know, to try and bring their story in the way that they wanted to. Now, if you are of that community, you understand that you are an outsider in the white community, and so it will necessarily then seem that I, the maker, am, which I'm not, because I'm inside our community and not inside their community.
Yeah.
Rolf Darcy here. I was just wondering what you thought was the most important thing to get across through VR in the story instead of just making a documentary or a feature.
You mean in the writing room, Darcy?
Sorry?
You mean in the writing room?
Yeah.
Yes, hard to answer the question because it's not quite like that. But I think one of the things that to me was important in the writing room, in much of the, there's a whole sort of concentration on leading people to see the things that they need to see.
Mm.
Okay, like with sound cues and you turn around and you see it there and so on. And one of the things I think that we tried to do was allow for exploration rather than, you've got to look at this in this way.
Mm-hmm.
And through exploring it, then the audience will find their own documentary.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've always found that be the like most profound thing of VR experiences is being able to kind of let the audience loose in your story. And kind of let them decide what is most important that they're watching and listening to.
Yes, and if you miss something, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And in narrative fiction, of course, all we do is try and manipulate the audience into seeing the film the way we want them to see it.
Yeah.
And if I miss something, then it can often be catastrophic. But in this, it was important for us that you could explore without being rushed and without worrying about if you miss something that you wouldn't get it.
Yeah. So we've seen more and more VR experiences emerge within the last 2 years, and even films that look at how VR could impact us both positively and negatively, and I'm thinking of something like Spielberg's Ready Player One. I'm not sure if you've seen that. But what sort of impact do you see VR having on the cinematic experience or on the viewer experience for that matter, I guess based on your kind of first-hand encounter with it?
Until VR solves the technical problem of resolution in the headset, it's not going to go anywhere.
Right.
It's going to be a fringe thing until it resolves that issue, and it's a big issue. because you can't see detail very well.
Yeah.
You can't see people's, you can't see emotion on people's faces. You can't see distant detail. It's one of the reasons why The Waiting Room was initially made as an installation piece, because that meant we could get high-resolution image without headsets.
Mm-hmm.
But in headsets, you get a different experience. It's a very good one, and the sound is better and all of this sort of stuff. But the image resolution is, from my perspective as a cinema maker, completely inadequate.
I wanted to ask you, Rolf, because there is some issues with VR for the viewer. For example, you do get headaches and nausea if you do wear the headset for too long. And I'm guessing that's why your film, The Waiting Room, is being reduced down to 7 minutes. Would I be right in thinking that?
I'd be interested in exploring that further. I've heard that, you know, this happens to people with sick or this and whatever, but if you go back to the early days of cinema,
mm-hmm.
In the 1890s, much the same things were said about projection of an image on the screen.
Mm.
You know, people get sick, people, you know, got frightened, people got vertigo, people got this, people got that. And of course, it's okay. When 3D cinema started to make a revival, same thing.
Yeah.
You know, people carried on about that. I don't think it's an issue in VR. I think that eventually, when the resolution stuff is sorted, if it is ever sorted, then more and more long-form stuff will be made. At the moment, I think I'd get a headache because the resolution's so bad. I'm trying to see things that I can't.
Yeah. I mean, you've mentioned 3D just then. The 3D movement kind of peaked, obviously, during the time of around Avatar and that sort of thing. So we've seen kind of less prominence with 3D in recent years. I think it's kind of just depleted in some sense. I think it was really overhyped at the time. So how do you see something like VR kind of sustaining itself over the next, say, 5 or even 10 years? Do you think it will be will fall into the same sort of trap as 3D and won't kind of maintain that sort of interest from audiences?
I have no sense of which way it will go, but I do have a sense for myself that if they don't improve, I'll go back to the same thing.
Mm.
If the resolution doesn't improve, it's got nowhere to go.
Yeah.
Rolf, have you had a chance to see any of the other virtual reality projects at this year's Melbourne International Film Festival, where your project is competing?
I went to do so yesterday, but I ended up doing a sort of a introductions and Q&As on The Waiting Room instead, so I missed out. I hopefully we'll get a chance tomorrow, and if I don't get a chance tomorrow, I'll have to miss out. Yeah.
Excellent. So, Rolf, that's all we have time for today. So thank you very much for coming on our show to discuss your new virtual reality experience, The Waiting Room.
Thanks, guys, and all the best with the show.
Thank you very much.
All the best.
And tickets can be found for The Waiting Room on the MIF website. You're listening to Film 101 on Sin. Thank you to our listeners for tuning in to today's special episode of Film 101, where we talked to, once again, famous, esteemed Australian film director, Rolf de Heer.